It is an area this morning that every one of you will have a battle with. There's a wonderful book from Max. I can never think of his last name. It's Lucardio or Lucidio. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name. But it's a marvellous book. If you ever get the opportunity to read it. And it's about the life of David. And the book is all about conquering your strongholds. Those things that you just don't seem to be able to beat. And it's a tremendous book. We might even do this series on it, taken from his book. We did it in Reading, back in the St. Saviour's Church in Reading, and it had a tremendous impact on people. And I want you to know that God wants you to be an overcomer, not an undercomer. Thank you. Because I tell you something, the next bit of our prayer is lead us not into... I deny anybody to stand up now and say they can walk out of that door because they're not tempted. Every one of you are tempted. Now, it's different levels. It's different levels. But we're all tempted. And I believe this is a very important part of the Lord's Prayer. And that's why we're going to deal with it in two parts. Lead us not in temptation this morning. And the second part, deliver us from evil. Before we do that, I just want to recap on what we did last week. We do this every week. We talked about forgiveness last week. And there's the two things. First, God's forgiveness. Then, our forgiveness. And there's the verses of Scripture that I asked you to remember. Because if you can remember those verses, it will encourage you day by day. When God says, I remember your sins no more, what does he do? He forgets them. He does what you and I don't often do. And that's forget. Someone was talking to me during the week and said, Pastor, you're so right. I've forgiven someone. But no, unforgiveness can lead to stress and hostility. No, unforgiveness leads to stress and hostility. Lower blood pressure, first symptoms of depression, anxiety, chronic pain. If you cannot forgive, that's what's going to happen. I want to tell you that is what's going to happen. And that's not for God's people. And this person said to me during the week, I can often forgive, what I can't do is forget. And I tell you, if you can't forget, you'll never be able to truly forgive. I want to give thank God. God says, he will remember my sins. No! Go and shout it out. No! No. Jesus cannot remember a sin you've ever done, Eunice. Now, Rob's probably got a huge list. I've only been here 4 years and I've got on my fifth volume. But listen. Listen. God says, I remember your sins.
No.
Oh, what a God we have.
Amen.
Oh, come on. What a Saviour we have this morning. He has no record of anything you've ever done wrong this morning. I don't know about you, that excites me. Because I know who I am. I know, lead me into temptation, Edward. You trip over hurdle after hurdle after hurdle after hurdle. I know strongholds in my life which need to go and be broken. I don't stand as perfection. I'm sorry, and I don't mean to be unkind, but I'm not the Pope. Fallible, very much fallible. I have to cry to God, lead me not into... But he cries, well, what about forgiveness and forgetfulness? What about forgiveness and forgetfulness? That was the question I asked you. And from this lovely little paragraph, John Piper. And you know what was wonderful? Billy Fennin, my ex-pastor in Redden, rang me up on Friday morning when I was in the church. And he was talking about this guy, John Piper. And I was just saying how wonderful. I said, we've just used John Piper. And Billy was telling me all about this great man of God, John Piper. And what he did was he took 7 bullet points from that paragraph I've just shown you. And I'll tell you something. You need to put this on your fridge wall. You need to put them on your office wall. Because until you can do every one of those 7 steps, you will never, never struggle. Sorry, you will always, always struggle in the area of forgiveness. How many of us can actually pray for the welfare of those who have hurt us? In other words, I want to bless you even though you have trashed my name. Even though you have said things about me in rooms where nobody else knows, but you have trashed my name. Whether or not it deserved to be trusted or whether or not, let me tell you, Jesus has no room for us trashing each other's names about. I know this is not the sermon, but I do feel we need to understand that when we trash somebody else's name that's born again in the family of God, it grieves our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, pray for your enemies, didn't he? And I think these 7 bullet points are absolutely tremendous, and they need to be stuck up on our wall, and that when we say, oh, I forgive him, we go to those 7 things and we can tick each one of them off. If we can't tick each one of them off, then I don't think we're forgiven. The first part of our prayer concerns you and me. It deals with the outer need we have. That is provision for daily food. Give us this day our daily. We ask for that. We ask for provision. Then we looked at our inner need. Our outer need was for food. Our inner need needed dealing with too. And we said, forgive us our... That's right. That's right. We ask for pardon. So the first part, we asked for provision. Give us our daily bread. The second part, we ask for forgiveness, which is pardon. Now the third thing we need to ask for is for protection. Lead us not into temptation. I need someone to lead me into out of temptation. I need protection. I don't know about you, but the Bible tells me the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Now that's good enough to say that I need some protection against him, because I'll tell you, I'm not big enough to defend myself against the enemy. And that is our problem. We think because we're born again, we can just walk up to the enemy and we can overfeed him and that. Listen, we deceive ourselves if we do that. And next week we're going to find out the secret of being able to deliver us from evil. God gave us certain things to deliver us from evil. He knew it wasn't going to be an easy battle. I'll tell you why, because Jesus himself was tempted in the wilderness by the enemy. And Satan came at the very last moment before Calvary to tempt him. Ask God if there's another way out. And he said, not my will, but thine will be done. Jesus Christ knew they were going to spit in his face. Jesus Christ knew they were going to headbutt him. Jesus Christ knew they were going to put a crown of thorns on his head. He knew they were going to plow his back up with whips, with metal lids in, so that it would smash his back to pieces. He knew that. But he still came under the will of God. And the enemy was very subtle in Gethsemane. But Jesus overcame. And because Jesus overcame, you and I can overcome. You see, a psychologist had a small child. And he said to his 5-year-old, I'm taking you to school today. And he sat him in all the classrooms. And he said to all the children, listen, there's a marshmallow for every one of you on that table. Now I'm going to walk out of the room. And he said, if I come back and you haven't eaten your marshmallow, I will give you another one. And he went out for about 15 minutes and watched as the kids struggled. Should I take it? Would he rather give me? And the temptation was there, and 50% or over 50% couldn't resist it and took the marshmallow. And when he came back in with another bag of marshmallows, only those who had been able to resist got a second marshmallow. Because it is easy to give in than it is to fight. How many of you had a sign, please keep off the grass? And what have you done? You thought, well, that's for breaking. Straight across the glass. Come on. Kay, when I got caned more times at school because the teacher would say, right, everybody be quiet. And I just used to always have the urge to say, what did you say? And he knew. And so he'd say, Lawrence, I got more canes across them fingers of mine simply by an ear to do that. Because it's easy to be tempted, isn't it? It's hard to forgive. And I'm going to give him 2 minutes. 2 minutes. As he gives a little testimony this morning on something that happened this week.
Go back to that. When I was born at a very early age. And at 6 weeks I was adopted into... I've got one older brother, one half, and then she had another two boys in the world of machines. And about when I was about 12, there was an argument in the house, and we looked to him and said something like, well, it doesn't matter, you're not one of ours, and I don't think. And I've held on to that phrase, and I've had a lot of problems with that. And when Mum died 12 months ago, he said something totally opposite, and I sort of started to change towards him. And last night, I had a lovely phone call from him, and we talked for ages on the phone, and it was lovely. And this morning, I picked up and read this morning, and it wasn't what I was expecting to read, and it was from Luke 6. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, then yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And I've prayed a lot for ages that he would help me with this problem that I've gone through. And last night I really believed that I had a break.
Hallelujah. Amen. Perfect example of what I'm talking about. That was a hurtful thing that was said to him. And that brought resentment. And it stirred his heart up, and it didn't make him feel good, it made him feel bad. Until he was able to break that. Because I want to tell you, temptation is very, very strong. When someone hurts you, you want to react. That is natural human. And the devil will tempt us. And tempt us. Because all he wants to do is to devour us. But I want to give you a verse of encouragement. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world today. But that doesn't mean to say that we don't have to play a major part in ourselves. Ian has played a major part. What Ian has done, he's made a decision. He's made a decision. And I keep telling you, all God is after is your willingness. He doesn't expect you to be able to overcome without him. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, when you pray, say to your heavenly Father, lead us not. It doesn't say anything about I will lead. Pray to God that God will lead you. Let God be your direction. Let God be your hope. Because in God we can overcome. Without God we never overcome. But that means within it may be a constant battle. You know, there's a hymn writer who said, each victory will help you some other to win. I tell you, that's not particularly true. That line isn't particularly true. Because I find when I've won one battle, the enemy comes and hits me again, and hits me again, and hits me again. And sometimes I don't feel that I've won one victory so the next one's easier. I find sometimes it's just as hard to take the next victory. And it'll be like that until finally it's breaking. We've got a lovely man at conference, Side Rogers, a homosexual who was saved. And for 30 years he's been free. But every day, the enemy's at his door. He tells you that. He said, thank God for 30 years I've been free. But he said, I thank God for 30 years I've been free. Because the enemy is always at his door. He has journalists following him around. Because he's such a famous international speaker. They're waiting for him to fall. So they can hit the headlines. His name's Side Rogers. I've got loads of CDs and DVDs. If you're struggling in a sexual area, not just in homosexuality, but if you're struggling in a sexual area, I've got videos and DVDs and everything there to help you overcome. But for 30 years, and it goes on every day, he has a lovely wife and daughter. But it doesn't get any easier for him. And he knows that he needs to be delivered each day from temptation. But I want to give you some hope, because if he can do it for 30 years, so can you. You see, the key to understanding temptation is this. We need to understand it has two meanings. It means to tempt with the goal of causing one to sin. That's what the devil does. Or it can mean a test or a trial to prove the validity of one's faith. That is what God does. That's when Abraham had to offer up Isaac. It was the second part. It wasn't the first part. It was just saying, God, I love you and I'll always serve you. Then God says, will you? Oh, yes, God. And what? I heard someone cry one day. Bring it on, God. Bring anything on. I'll still stand. Silly thing to say, because God says, okay, I'll test your faith. And he didn't stand very long. Because we human beings, and sometimes we can cry some of the most outrageous statements out, and God knows our hearts. Thank God for that. But I want to tell you something. I know God will put us through the test. That's the second part. The first part is what Satan does. Because Satan wants to lead us to sin. God wants to lead you to victory. And I can't hear any amens, but I'm grateful. God wants to lead me into victory upon victory upon victory upon victory. I'm serious. Let's get excited about the God we serve. He's given us this wonderful prayer to make us successful Christians. I want to be a success, don't you? I want to be able to overcome all the enemy throws at me. I want to be able to look someone in the eyes and say, I forgive you, and I forget all that's happened. I want to be able to do that. I want to say to God, Lord, I'm dependent upon you for my daily provision. I'm not so cocky that I think that I can have my own finances, do it my way. I want to say to God, God, forgive me my trespasses. Provide for me my daily bread. Because I believe that he's got things better for me than I can ever get for myself. But you know, we need to understand that James 4 said, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I want to tell you, people cry out to me and just say, oh, I've just got to resist the devil. No, you don't. The Bible says, first of all, humble yourselves before God. And some of us are using scripture without adding the pretext to the scripture that's been in front of us. We need to humble ourselves before God. There's a song called We Bow Down. We bow down. And some of us need to be bowing down and crying to God. God, I can't make today because, Father, I know what I'm like in my human frailty. I humble myself before you. Will you not lead me into temptation this morning? Will you deliver me? I wonder if we're that humble enough. Or I wonder if we're still arrogant enough to think that we can make life tomorrow our way. I want to tell you, without God's strength and help and guidance and direction tomorrow, I'm going to fail. And that's not weakness. That happens just to be a fact. He tried to do it his way. Moses tried to do it his way. David tried to do it his way. Asking for help, my friend, is not a weakness. But it's a strong point. In fact, it's our starting point in life. See, David never wanted to commit adultery. Never wanted to commit adultery. That was never in David's heart. He never set out to do that. The Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. We need to recognize how vulnerable we are. Peter said to Jesus, if every one of these disciples here, if they all forget you and run away, I'm standing. Jesus says, Peter, no. Everybody takes off. Number one will stand here before you. And Jesus said, before the cock crows three times. Well, he knew Peter's heart. He knew that Peter meant every single word that he said. But Peter wasn't relying upon the Spirit, he was relying upon the flesh. And the wonderful thing about Jesus, he says this, Peter, I'm going to pray for you. Oh, come on, get excited. He is a man boasting about what he's going to do. Jesus knows he's going to fail him, but Jesus doesn't scold him or headbutt him. He simply says, Peter, I'm going to pray for you. That's the God I serve. No, come on. That's not the God who wants nothing to do with me because I failed. This is the God that says, Edward, you're going to fail on Monday morning, but hey, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Yeah, you let these people down and you won't be everything you should be to them. But Eddie, I'm praying for you. I'm not despising you because you failed me in certain areas. I'm not going to abandon you because you've done things which you shouldn't have done. I want to tell you something, Edward. I'm daily going in to sit at my Father's throne for you. And what he says to me, he says to you. But how are we humble enough to come before the throne of grace? You do not have to struggle. God is willing. God is able. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians. Take heed lest you fall. Be careful. Temptation is just around the corner. Friend, Paul is warning you. He's warning you that temptation will come. And let me tell you as we come into a close. First, there are circumstances which may or may not lead you to sin. Secondly, there is the desire within your life, if you like, when aroused by these circumstances. These always happen in temptation. How does temptation work? It is these 2 points. Please, again, this bullet point is available. This comes from a great man of God called Alan Redpath. First of all, David, as I said, did not want to have an adultery. There are no circumstances which may or not lead you to sin. The circumstances was he came out and he saw a woman bathing. Now, that wasn't his fault, was it? No, seriously. He was out for a walk and she was bathing. There are circumstances which will come in your life which are not sinful. There is a proverb which says, you can't stop the birds flying around your head, but you can stop them settling in the nest. Right? You can't stop them flying around your head. That's part of life. But you can stop them settling into your head. And that was not a sin for David to look at this woman because he walked out on his balcony and there she was. That wasn't a sin. Which is the first part. But the second part, there is a desire within your life. And that's what happened. When aroused by these circumstances, what happened was he saw her naked and boy did his sexual emotions kick into charge. The first part, he was innocent. And if he'd stopped there and turned around and gone back into the house, it'd have been okay. Lead us not into temptation. The enemy was subtle. Hey, she's nice. And she was nice. You see, there's nothing wrong with seeing a pretty woman. Nothing at all. Or the moment you've long thoughts and entered into your heart, into your mind, you're lost. You've gone. The first part is nothing wrong. But desire comes along. Now this is what happens every time temptation comes. Every time the referee makes a bad decision against my holy team, I sometimes can step over the line. I never call the referee something something, but I do question his judgment. Because Sunderland players never foul and they're never offside. Right? Never. So when the referee blows that thing, I'm up in arms. Oh, I'm up in arms. I tell you what, if I could be as quick for the Lord as I am for the Sunderland team, I'd be okay. I'm up there in milliseconds. And you know what happens? I start thinking thoughts. And I've gone. I've gone. And so's my witness. I've gone. They all said to me today, Edward, you won't be able to watch the match today because you'll be at church. I said, don't worry, it's going to be a very short service. I said, there's only going to be 2 hymns, and then along comes Eunice. There's another sin you'll be in, you put 10 songs on. Would you hear what I'm saying? You know, they know I'm a vicar, and they know, and they, you know, they say to me, how on earth are you going to get out of this match? And I said, well, the elders of our church are unsympathetic. They won't allow me to have a Sunday off. And I said, you know, you don't understand the hardness of my elders. But can you not see that when something comes along, it is not in itself a sin? You see, if you've got a problem with pornography, why are you going onto websites? I'm being serious. If you have a problem with gossip, if you have a problem with jealousy, why do we put ourselves in situations where that is going to manifest itself? Be very serious here this morning. God can help you to overcome the devil, but you have to lead yourself not in temptation this morning. And that is the secret. The moment you see something which is going to give you a desire which is wrong, you immediately must kill it. You immediately must kill it. And I'm talking about gossip. Immediately I want to say something nasty about another Christian. Shut your mouth. I mean that very and honestly this morning. And it won't happen. We need to take responsibility, and that helps us. We are going on to this more than we should do. That is from Alan Redpath. Tremendous statement. You can read it. We're going to be finishing in about 5 minutes. You see, it takes a spark, Doreen, to set a fire off, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? The wood can be there all day, but unless you strike a match, that is still a bit of wood.
Yeah.
Now, if you pour water on the wood, I'll guarantee you it will never set a fire. And that's our lives. Our lives are like wood, dry wood. The devil comes along and he wants to set a spark. You and I have got to pour water on it. You and I have got to pour water. How do I do it? I go to my Father and I kneel on my knees and I humble myself before him. And I say, Father, lead me not into temptation. Father, you're the water. I might be the wood, Father. You're the water. Drench me in your spirit this morning, that the fiery art of the devil will not consume me. And there we are in conclusion. We need daily to be asking God for protection. You are not strong enough yourself to overcome. You are not strong enough. First, there are circumstances which you may or not lead to sin. We've just talked about that. That's okay. David, it was okay the first bit. Secondly, there is the desire within your life when aroused by these circumstances. And these two parts operate in every temptation. Please remember these two parts. Remember, there must be tinder as well as a spark if you're going to kindle a flame. Remember that temptation within itself is not a sin. It's not a sin. Jesus was tempted, but sinned not. No, Jesus was tempted. What you do with it could well be, though. It's what I do with it. And this is a lovely verse. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And I keep going back to you. Don't keep adding scriptures in. Look at the verse before. Get the scripture in its right context. How do I stop the devil devouring me? Be self-controlled and alert. I need to realize daily that the devil wants to kick me every day. Be alert. Get wise. And when you know the devil wants to kick you, you need to have a bodyguard to stop him kicking you. I'm telling you, I go there on my knees before God and I humble myself before him. God, be my protector. Be my provision for my daily bread. Be my pardon, forgive me my sins. Be my protector, lead me not into temptation. And next week we will find some keys to helping us unlock. And these will be available to you. They're taken from a man called Neil Anderson. And there are 10 points on which we can overcome temptation. We won't be speaking on those 10 points. It is a leaflet which I will gladly give out to people. I'm not printing them out just for the sake of printing them out. But if you want them, there are 10 steps to overcoming thoughts. Because thoughts are the most thing that seems to tend us to go away from God. And next week you can receive a free copy of that. And they will help you to overcome. If you want to email me or you want to let me know in advance, then you can have them. I'm trying to give you good material. Not from me, but from sources that I resource into. Because my only object is to lead my people into a place where we can have victory. Because I want us to be wholesome people. And it starts with me. I am infallible. Very much so infallible. And the Bible says you should be praying for me. You're not condemning me. You should be praying for me.
Amen.
So I'm not infallible. I'm very much easy to be overcome as you are. But with God's help, we shall overcome. Now, I'm not going to sing a protest song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We're not going to have any John Byers songs here. We're not. But I just want you to know, listen, in the end of the day, Jesus is going to take us to glory. Then we shall be what we should be.
Amen.
And we should be what we shall be. Things which are not now, not can be. shall be mine eternally. You've got to hope, my brothers and sisters. One day the enemy is going to be kicked into the lake of fire. One day. Kicked into the lake of fire. No more temptation. Hallelujah. What a day! Well, I'll walk the way God ever created me to walk. But until that day, you've got enough information on that sheet to help you to overcome temptation. So, Father, I pray it will be our burning desire that we will not be led into temptation, but that we will deliver from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.